This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and thanks are due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, choices, peace, blessings and salutations upon our master and exemplar, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Today we're looking at what we do now. We are a few hours away from Ramadan, potentially, if the moon is sighted, and of course if it is not, then still it is but a few hours away. I chose today to look at four bits of advice by Imam al-Haddad, because it was the Ratib al-Haddad that was the subject of our classes for the last couple of weeks. And of course, we have a strong connection to Imam al-Haddad, whose full name was Shaykh al-Habib Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad al-Hadrami al-Shafi'i. And then one additional bit of advice that I've added to this in how a fasting person should conduct themselves. But really what he's talking about here is not a set of instructions, but a mindset, a heartset, how to get into the Ramadan zone, how to put yourself right there. We will learn much theory about Ramadan, and we will be discussing, inshallah ta'ala, a lot of that year. But what should be our state of mind and our state of heart as we proceed with this blessing and gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he begins by first and foremost reminding us about this essential bit of advice to give us the hal, the condition that we're supposed to be in. Man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Wa man qama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. We've heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before. Whosoever fasts in the month of Ramadan because of their faith, in other words, in the condition of having faith and in the condition of expecting reward. These two words, imanan wa ihtisaban, accompanies the days of Ramadan and the nights of Ramadan. And they really set the tone for how we should be, how our hearts should be, how our minds should be, how our lives should be. We go into the month of Ramadan with firm faith that what we are doing is divine decree. It is divinely decreed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should fast. It's not just some human endeavor. It's something that Allah had decreed for us. And secondly, we go in with the expectation of reward from Allah. With the expectation of reward. In other words, we should want, we should desire, we should be covetous of reward from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sets the tone for how we enter into the month of Ramadan. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us certain etiquettes that we've incorporated here locally. We used to say, our forefathers used to say, for those of you who don't understand Afrikaans, it means don't make your fast watery. It doesn't quite work in the English language. But this would be a completely different set of rules to the fiqh. Right? In fiqh, we discuss what breaks the fast, what doesn't break the fast, the do's, the don'ts, the wajib and the makruh and the sunnah. But this set of rules is different. This speaks about a level beyond that. And I know that many of us can recall growing up, you know, yesteryear, if somebody's fasting and they swear, for them, they practically have to refast that day. My puasa is gebrek. If somebody's fasting and they lose their temper, they lose their cool, you know, they blow a gasket, for them, it is as though they broke their fast on that day. It's not that they're going to eat now, but many people would actually repay that day just because of that moment of losing it. And this comes from an impetus in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says to us, that man lam yada' qawl az-zuri wal 'amal bihi wal jahla falaysa lillahi hajatun fi an yada' ta'amahu wa sharabahu. Anyone who doesn't leave off bad speech, evil speech in Ramadan, Allah doesn't need that person to leave off their food and their drink. This very strong word from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that, look, the bare minimum is to abstain from food, drink, and physical intimacy from one time in the day till the other time. That's the mechanics of fasting. But somebody could do that and gain no reward for it whatsoever. They could get nothing. رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ. Many a fasting person, they get nothing from their fast except for hunger and thirst. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. Many a standing person who performs taraweeh and makes tahajjud, they get nothing from it except fatigue. Why is this? This is because of the heart set, the mindset, the zone that the Prophet ﷺ wants us to get into for the month of Ramadan. So number one, in relation to the advice by Imam al-Haddad, is to prepare ourselves that my tongue is going to go into a fasting state as of now. That what I used to speak about haphazardly, and you start speaking about this one. And then you start speaking about that one. That ghibah, that's going to stop. That lying, whether it be what we consider to be white lies or other forms of lies, lies are lies, right? There's very limited forms of excused or permissible lying. We're going to abstain. Swearing, insults, right? Humiliation, verbal abuse, we're going to pause that. Because we don't just want the hunger and thirst. We want a level beyond that. Number two, he says, refrain from looking at things that may lessen our reward of fasting. The pious predecessors used to say, إِذَا سُمْتُ فَأَنْظُرُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ أُفْتِرُ. If I fast and I look at something that is haram, that is not permissible for me to look at, then I've broken my fast. The same concept, right? Ik het gevloek, my fast is gebreek. Is it broken? Is it broken in a sense of fiqh? Is your fast broken? Do you need to repay that day? No. But at a level beyond that, to fast and weaken one's fast with the bad habits or the bad character that makes your fast weak, so it is as though one broke one's fast. This is a level beyond what is necessary, right? Some scholars refer to this as wara'. Taqwa is the basics, right? To abstain from the haram and to do that which is wajib. But wara' is to go above and beyond that. So watch the tongue. Give the tongue a holiday. Give the evil tongue a holiday. The tongue is going to go on a sabbatical. Right? The tongue is going to be reformed because we want to fast not only with our stomachs, we want to fast with every organ, with every sense in our body. To the extent that in our fiqh, albeit a matter about which the scholars have differed, some scholars say don't use perfume while you're fasting, right? Even in the Shafi'i school, that is a view as well. Don't use perfume while you're fasting. I'm not saying that you must follow this view. This is the only view. I'm just mentioning that they have an understanding that fasting is beyond just that of abstinence from food, drink, and physical intimacy. It's a state. It's a spiritual state. Now, with the first two words of advice by Imam al-Haddad, how do you accept a type of fast we're in? We're fasting, but we're watching all sorts of movies while we're fasting. And all those images are going into our hearts and into our minds. What type of fast is that? Worse still, the fasting of the person who neglects their salah, the fasting of the person who indulges in illicit speech and behavior all day, every day. What do you consider that type of fasting to be? What type of benefit would you think is going to be derived from Ramadan through that? But instead, as Imam al-Ghazali has explained, you get different levels of fasting. You get the fasting of the general masses, but you get a special type of fasting where the person doesn't only abstain from the basics, but they abstain from sin so that they can derive the maximum pleasure, the maximum bliss of Ramadan. Number three, I don't think everybody's going to like this one, right? But number three is stay active in Ramadan. Fasting must not be an excuse for us to sit back, relax, and say, no, I can't do anything because... Right? Some of us, we're guilty of this sometimes, right? So a task comes up, an activity comes up, something that needs to be done. Let's say the house needs to be cleaned, or some chore needs to be taken care of. And we say, no, we can't do it today because we're fasting. Ramadan, the fast in that it took place in, was the same Ramadan in which the battle of Badr took place in. Another event that took place in Ramadan, albeit a few years later, in the 8th year after the Hijrah, that was the second year. In the 8th year after the Hijrah, another battle, well, not really a battle, but another major event in our history took place. The conquest of Makkah, Fathu Makkah. It was also in Ramadan. Do you imagine that the Sahaba said, "Kani fatakhat baklainik puasa?" You know, I can't go fight today, I'm busy fasting. Ramadan and fasting, the fasting person goes above and beyond. Wouldn't that lead to exhaustion? Wouldn't that lead to fatigue? Wouldn't that make us somewhat vulnerable to be weaker at the end of the day, to be more tired at the end of the day, to feel it more, to be more hungry? Absolutely, it would. But that's what we want in Ramadan. If you're looking for the type of Ramadan where we don't feel the hunger, don't feel the thirst, and don't feel the fatigue, I think we need to look elsewhere, right? Embrace it. Because لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Not even related to Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala says to us in the Quran, you will never attain righteousness until you spend of that which you love. This is not in relation to Ramadan, but think about it. If we don't go through a period of sacrifice, of putting ourselves in a certain level of difficulty, how will we grow spiritually? How will we grow psychologically? How will we grow emotionally? So let's not be babies about it. And when things get tough and we say, no, I can't today because I'm fasting. I can't do that because I'm fasting. Instead, do the opposite. If a task comes up, if a chore comes up, if something needs to be done, let the fasting person be the first person to say, Ana musta'id, I'm ready, I'll do it. Why? Because I'm fasting. It's the month of Ramadan. And there's increased barakah and productivity in my life. Number four. Now we first need to address the fact that unfortunately, there are still people who imagine, I don't know, it's probably because of our perception of fasting, right? Growing up, I heard and I knew of many people who would fast because they've always fasted. But unfortunately, they haven't always been making salah. So even in the month of Ramadan, they don't make salah. So you actually get people who would wake up for suhoor to eat because they go and fast without eating and then go back to sleep and not make fajr. And you would get people who would break their fast, right, for iftar or for buka and have a nice party and then everybody just continues sitting and Maghrib passes by and nobody prays Maghrib, nobody prays Aisha. That is completely unacceptable. And I won't even waste everyone's time by addressing that here. We all know there's no possible way that there can be any goodness in that. Is that person's fasting valid per se? Is their fasting still intact? From a fiqh level, yes. But if it makes one's fast watery to swear, what about the person who doesn't perform their fard salah? Right? So we're not going to speak about that. That's intolerable. However, we will speak about what many of us do fall prey to. And that's the slump in Ramadan that happens about 24 hours after they sight the moon. Okay? Because we're full of vuma. They say the moon has been sighted. Allahu Akbar, it's Ramadan. Everybody goes to the masjid is full. The next night is not so full anymore. Why? Because that burst of energy, that excitement is not enough to sustain us throughout the month of Ramadan. Let this year be the year that we realize the more we put in, the more we get out. And every sunnah that we can follow, in Ramadan of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to boost our souls, to boost our iman, to boost our chances in the akhirah. But we need to dive at that opportunity. We need to embrace it with open arms. This includes helping others break their fast. If you've never been involved in a Ramadan charity, you know, where people are fed, where you make food, you prepare goodies, and you share it with others. And this isn't the sharing with neighbors. That should continue. That's our local practice, cultural practice. Please do continue that. Revive it if it's somewhat dormant in your community. Nobody else shares cookies with you, it's okay. Still give them cookies, right? But beyond that, go to those underprivileged Muslims who don't really know if there's going to be much to eat when it's time to break their fast. If you don't know where to go, go to your local masjid. Simple as that. If you don't know where to go, go to your local masjid for iftar. Take a bunch of goods with you and feel what it's like to feed the fasting person, or at least to contribute toward feeding the fasting person. It's a phenomenal feeling, but it's not for that person. It's for you. It's for me. It's for us. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, whosoever feeds the fasting person, he will get the reward of that person's fast, and nobody's reward will be diminished in the least. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah, for the last couple of years and this year as well, Fajr is late, Maghrib is early, and so is Isha. I urge you, not because I'm going to get paid to see the masajid full. I urge you because I want for you what I want for myself. Let's fill the masajid for Salat al-Taraweeh this Ramadan. Let us make that a priority. Let us make the niyyah that if we've never done this before, or it's been ages since we've accomplished this, today we make the niyyah, oh Allah, accept us to be from among those who are present in Salat al-Taraweeh every single night of Ramadan. And for those of us who find this to be daunting, don't exclude yourself just yet. Probeer, try, hawilu, just a little bit. If you can't manage 20 raka'at, it's okay, come for 8 raka'at. If 8 raka'at sounds like it's too much, come for 2 raka'at. If 2 raka'at sounds like it's too much, just come for Salatul Isha. But I urge you, as a community, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to ourselves to appreciate this gift of Ramadan more this year, because alhamdulillah, it appears as though things are coming back to normal, to what we considered to be normal before. But let us not go back to the type of Ramadan where three rows of musalli stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On nights that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever stands in the nights of Ramadan because they believe and hoping for reward, all of their sins will be forgiven. Who would want to miss such an opportunity? Furthermore, let us go out of our way to spend time with the Quran this Ramadan. Now I know it's difficult for many people. Some people, they struggle to learn to bacha, and then they didn't really keep up with it because they were never really proficient. So often you find Muslims who are unable to recite. Or you find Muslims who can recite, but they struggle with their recitation. And it's a daunting task to complete an entire khatam of the Quran in 30 days if you are not somewhat fluent in your recitation. And often people who struggle and they push through that, they don't quite connect with the Quran because they're busy just trying to get through the words. You know, just trying to piece the words together. A simple strategy for us to take if we find that these struggles prevent us from spending time with the Quran in Ramadan, I recommend that instead of looking at the quantity that you finish per day or that you finish for the month, look at the time that you spend. Make the niyyah today that I can afford to spend, mathalan, for example, a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, 1.5 hours, whatever the case may be. But I intend to spend that time for the Quran, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day in the month of Ramadan. Even if you finish one ayah Allah will reward you for your niyyah and for your effort. Al-mahiru bil-Qur'an ma'a safarati al-kiram al-barara wal-ladhi yaqra'u al-Qur'ana wa huwa alayhi shaqun wa yatata'ata'u fihi falahu ajran. Remember, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the expert with the Qur'an will be with the angels. And the person, listen to the words, the person who recites the Qur'an, wa yatata'ata'u fihi. How does that sound? Like a stutter. And they stutter when they recite. They can't, you know, they struggle. And it's difficult for them. فَلَهُ أَجْرَانَ They will get two rewards. So instead of looking at the quantity, just make the niyyah for the time. If it's 20 minutes, 20 minutes it is. May Allah accept it from you. What's more important is that we do it every single day. Number two, don't just make it a month of bacha. Right? Bacha as much as you can, but don't only bacha. Don't only recite. It is very important for us to connect to the meanings of the Qur'an. To connect to the feelings of the Qur'an. Find a way to do this. Be creative about it. Not everybody is going to have the self-discipline and the self-motivation to study by themselves. So, no problem. Allah has given us many means today. And we are very blessed here in the Cape of Good Hope. We've got so many different programs at the different masajid. Wherein, after Taraweeh, we get a decent lecture about something of the Quran. Here in this masjid, inshallah, our intention is to do the verses covering the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and the Hajj every night. And the lecture is usually between 10 and 15 minutes. We try not to keep it any longer than that. But there are other masajid where they cover different aspects. My only sort of caution there is go where you know that you are actually going to get a decent lecture, where you're going to get a decent lesson, where you can walk away with something valuable that you can apply in your life, and there's some preparation that goes into the dars, right? It's not everyone that's capable of that, or every masjid that offers that, so find it, pursue it, and grab a hold of it. It's free, subhanAllah. For our brothers and sisters who are at home for some reason or the other, right? Or perhaps their study time or the time of the Quran is not at night after the Taraweeh prayer. I recommend you utilize the means that Allah had given to us with all technology that we have available. Okay? Switch off your DSTV for the month of Ramadan. You don't need the subscription to access the Islamic channel in case you were trying to use that as an excuse. Switch off your Netflix subscription for the month of Ramadan. If you're serious about Allah, if you're serious about wanting Jannah, if you're serious about wanting to gain the maximum benefit from Ramadan, I challenge you, do that. Show Allah how serious you are. Whosoever takes one step towards Allah, Allah will take 10 steps towards them. Make the effort, Allah will make the change for you. But beyond that, keep your internet on, right? Because you can still gain so many benefits from the lessons from scholars around the world. And I say that while knowing full well that people are a bit strange when it comes to scholars from around the world, right? Because we think that for some reason or the other, a person with an accent is going to give you a better form of Islam than a person with your own accent. And that's a very apartheid way of thinking of things. But the point is here, you can benefit from any scholars who offer these beautiful lessons, often for free, online. But the most important element is your coming to the lesson, your attendance of that lesson, your dedication to that lesson, with the niyyah that, oh Allah, as Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent time in Ramadan with his teacher Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam revising the Quran, I too will choose a teacher and spend time, albeit a few minutes per day, to benefit from the beauty of the Quran, from the majesty of the Quran, from the rahmah of the Quran. Every sunnah that we can possibly gain in the month of Ramadan, let's jump to it this year. If you've never thought, it's never even come onto your radar to think of i'tikaf, I challenge you this year, make the intention for i'tikaf. Even if you can't manage 10 days, even if you can't manage full time, still make the intention for i'tikaf. In the Shafi'i school, it's actually very easy. Every time you come into the masjid, you can have an intention for i'tikaf. You don't need to stay for a certain period of time. You don't need to be in a fasting state. You don't need to have, okay, what do I, you know, what can I leave for? What can't I leave for? It's very easy in the Shafi'i school of thought, as opposed to what many people think. But if you can manage, The last 10 days of Ramadan in the Masjid for i'tikaf, wallahi al-azim, can potentially change your life. I've seen it many, many times before. You want to change your life? Imagine you tell the world, business people, you tell them, look, a 10-day retreat, it will guaranteed change your life. How much will they be willing to pay for it? I'tikaf is free. I'tikaf is free. It's not for everyone, and it's not also compulsory upon everyone. But for those who want, it is there for the taking. Finally, and this, we've now gone through Imam al-Haddad's advice, which was, again, guard your tongues. Be careful of what you say in every sense of the word. Count your words in Ramadan. He said, refrain from looking at the haram. All of these things, all forms of sin, weakens the fast. We said it, maak jou puasa waterig, right? Doesn't necessarily break your fast. But what type of fasting is that? What type of spiritual benefit is that? Number three, he said, remain active in Ramadan. Don't become lazy. Don't become a sloth. And then the excuse is, no, I'm fasting, it's Ramadan. You see, things are tough, it's difficult. Unless, of course, you have an excuse, some illness, etc. That's different. Number four, practice as many of the sunnahs as you can. Because if we were to only do the fard of Ramadan, just imagine, just think for a second, right? Only the fard. You only do your five fard salahs. You only fast, as in stay away from food, drink, and intimacy, right? No Quran recitation, because that's not fard. You don't even open up the Quran in Ramadan. You don't attend the masjid once, not even once, not even for Eid, because that's not fard. Not even for Taraweeh or for Aisha, that's not fard. Imagine that type of Ramadan. So the type of attitude where I'm gonna wing it and just go with the bare minimum, it's not gonna get us anywhere. Rather have the opposite. Where can I get more good deeds because I want to maximize my month of Ramadan? I don't know. I don't know if Allah is going to take my life away in this coming year. I don't even know if I'm going to make it till the month of Ramadan. But we've seen this. Lives are lost. Those people who passed away between last Ramadan and this Ramadan, how many of them do you think had the thought in their minds last Ramadan that this is the last Ramadan of my life? Honestly, how many of them? Subhanallah. If that is us, oh Allah, let this Ramadan be enough. My last addition to Imam al-Haddad's advice is this. Don't wait for inspiration and then the action. Action comes first most of the time. We often wait around for some divine. Jibreel alayhi salam is not going to come to you, brother. Wahi has cut off, right? By Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're waiting for the angel to pick you up and take you to the masjid, it's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. If you're waiting for the mushaf to fall from the sama into your lap and open up on the page that you're supposed to recite, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting for the staircase to Jannah to come down so that you can climb straight to Allah, it's not going to happen. The way it works with inspiration is not that we wait around and then inspiration comes and then we act. No, no, no. Allah Ta'ala says, "Man jahada fina, lanahdiyannahum subulana." Those who strive in our pathways, we will guide them to our paths. The striving comes first. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says, whosoever takes one step towards me, I take 10 steps towards them. Whose step comes first? Allah's 10 or your one? First step is my step. First step is your step. And Allah will come the rest of the way. All Allah wants from us is to make a little bit of effort. So, with our plans that we've been discussing, with our battle plan and with our understanding of what happens with the ruh that we've been looking at, the next couple of hours gives us time to get into the zone, to get focused, to really think about the state of being that we will be in at work, at home with our families, at night, in the morning, at the masjid, how exactly we're going to conduct ourselves in terms of our tongues, in terms of our eyes, in terms of our ears, in terms of our practices and our habits, how are we going to fit in all the khairat that we desire from Ramadan? And then we need to get into the zone and get focused, because now's the time to reap every fruit that Allah Ta'ala had granted us in this blessed month of Ramadan, this gift from the divine, this month that those in their graves would give up every penny, every single rand and cent that they ever owned in this dunya. They would give up all of that they had in their lifetimes just to replace with one day of Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala is going to grant us. If you think about that. Think about somebody who's in their grave right now. What they would do. What they would give from what they had in this dunya to just have one moment of the month of Ramadan so that they can invest for their grave. We have that opportunity before us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the understanding and that we take advantage, full advantage of the sacred month of Ramadan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. In this masjid, inshallah, just very briefly, the program will be as follows. The time of Isha on the calendar, just know that 5 minutes after that, the adhan will be sounded in the masjid here. And immediately after the sunnahs are prayed for that adhan, the fard salah will take place. So there will be no waiting period as there used to be in the previous years. This is to accommodate those who usually come early and then have to wait an extended period of time. And what we've observed is that those who come early are usually those who come most regularly. So the consideration will be given, inshallah ta'ala. And then, what else? We usually recite a half a juz. We usually recite a half a juz here at this masjid. And we usually end off early anyways, but we'll probably be ending even earlier because of the no waiting period after the adhan. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And the talk is going to take place after the Salat al-Taraweeh. As I mentioned, our theme for this year is the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and the Hajj. And that will be between 10 and 15 minutes on a nightly basis. The same talk will also be posted onto the Masjid's Facebook page for your families at home, inshallah ta'ala. Dates are still for sale, as in the edible kind. Uncle Ihsan wants me to make sure that you know. It's not dates with Uncle Ihsan. It's the dates that you can eat, inshallah. But the funds for that, the proceeds for that will be towards the Masjid's Ramadan activities, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a blessed Ramadan and grant us the best of what it has to offer. May Allah grant us forgiveness for our sins. Allah alone knows that we are in desperate need of Ramadan to save our souls and to make dua and supplicate. Ya Rabb, how much don't we need to pray and beg Allah for this ummah, for the sake of this ummah, for the state of the world today, and for the pain and suffering, the illness, poverty and war that we face. We can all see Qiyamah on the horizon. Ya Allah, make us ready for that time. Make our families ready for that time. Protect our ummah, protect our youth, our family, our children, our wives, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our ummah at large. Ya Rabb, allow us all to reap of the fruits of Ramadan. And Ya Allah, even though we are not worthy of the gifts that you have in store for us for Ramadan, Ya Allah, you are Kareem. So please shower us with your nobility and your generosity in this Ramadan. Allow us to eat of the fruits of Jannah as we break our fast. Allow us to shed off those sticky, stubborn sins and habits that we've been cursed with and that we've cursed ourselves with throughout our lives. Ya Allah, allow us to just depart from all of that. Make us from the true muhajirun, those who make hijrah away from their bad habits and their bad sins. Ya Allah, on this day, as we await the sacred month of Ramadan, we turn to you in supplication and we beg of you, please forgive our parents who have passed on from this world and grant them the highest places in Jannah. Oh Allah, grant all our forefathers, those who contributed to the Ummah today and to our Islam, grant them the highest places in Jannah and make the graves gardens of paradise. Oh Allah, for our parents who are still alive, Ya Allah, bless them, guide them, protect them, grant them good health, grant them all the best that this world has to offer and be with them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, we make dua for all of those who are suffering, any form of suffering or pain, those who suffer in silence, those who suffer knowingly, those who suffer out loud, all of those who are undergoing any form of oppression, Ya Allah, remove all the difficulties, alleviate the difficulties and bring about the ease. آمين يا رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته